Before we pray, let us read from Romans 12, from verse 9. Romans 12, from verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So far, these precious words of God, I would like it best to read them again, that they could be deeply engraved in our hearts. May the Spirit of God do it this afternoon, that He may these words of the Scripture, that He would make them a reality in my and in your life. May not only these words, may every word of the Scripture become a living testimony in your and in my life, that we, as a written letter, could be read by everybody. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And for the testimony which I will give here today, I would like to emphasize this verse 12. And then reading the last verses from chapter 11. In verse 12, chapter 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. From Romans 11, from verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the great privilege that I may stand today here at this place to give testimony to your people of that what you have done. I ask you, give me the physical strength during these minutes and bless us in this service. Lead us closer to you and join us with one another. May, as we have sung, may nothing be a hindrance anymore to your spirit. May the own I, every own willing and doing, be buried. May we have been risen with you unto a new life, unto a life in the Spirit, unto a divine life with you. Take everything from us what grieved you, what could be in your way to be present today. O God, I pray for your presence. Give me the words that I shall say today at this place for the glory of your name. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wholeheartedly, I welcome all of you. I greet you who you are present, and all who will hear this tape in the precious and holy name of the Lord. Especially all those who probably are here today for the first time, I would like to welcome you very warmly, and I wish you God's blessing. Today, I will not preach. Today, I can only give a short testimony. Then I will have to sit down again, because physically, I am very weak. Just on Friday afternoon, I was discharged from hospital, in which I was from the 1st of January with malaria, pulmonary embolism, with a liver that is black like coal, with a spleen that was 3 times larger than normal, and with some kind of complications, with a sepsis, the blood was dark blue. I was admitted to hospital on the 1st of January. I brought with me malaria from West Africa, from Ghana, without knowing what it is or what it entails. I just thought it is a flu, a cold, and initially I came still to Zurich, you all know it, last Sunday, in December, and I just had a little rest at home, and I got up again. I was never sick in my life. I didn't know what it actually means. And suddenly, it was so far that I had more than 40 degrees temperature, almost 41. And my brother said, you must go to hospital. And when I arrived there, I just heard how the doctors said to one another, it is probably too late. And the one said to the other, blood test, blood preservation, blood transfusion. So one came to the other. And in my heart was no blood transfusion. If God wants to keep me alive, then in His way and not in a human way. I believe in blood transfusion, but I don't believe that I should get it. It is left to each one personally. My two biological brothers, they remained in hospital, and they wanted to make themselves available directly for this. If I would report all the details of the 3 or 4 days, this would lead too far. The first night, Brother Rus watched over me. My brother, who is with me today, with whom we for almost 30 years are joined deeply and are working for the kingdom of God, will afterwards speak to you briefly. The second night, Brother Schmidt watched over me. The third, my younger brother Helmut. The fourth, my older brother Arthur. And I must say, I have in these days, in the hours of death, and I will tell you now, I went through the valley of death. You will hear just now what a grace God has given to me in all that. After the first examination, when everything was finalized and the hope has diminished, my oldest brother stepped into the room in which I was lying alone, and I heard his words. He said, Jesus Christ has not only won the victory on Calvary, Jesus Christ has won the victory here in this room. Anything else does not exist. I could not speak a word, but I heard it. And I came to the next examination, and I heard a man dying next to me. And this you should have heard once. When an unbelieving person is dying, it goes through your marrow and bone. I heard his crying, and I tell you, it went through all of me. But in my heart was a certainty that I go to the Lord. And if there is something like a 1000% certainty, then I had it. I had not one single thought, and I didn't speak once the sentence, Lord, keep me alive. I wanted to go home, into glory, to be with my Lord. This was the only wish that I had. But before I forget, I would like to say that I not even for one moment had pain. Not for one single moment. It became black before my eyes. I collapsed. I lost strength. All this was there. But not for one moment I had any kind of pain. But then, when I heard this dead man in his last moments and waited until it's my turn to be examined, of course the thought came to me, your hour can also be now. I could not speak, but within me I spoke out silently the words, Lord, how do I stand before you? And in the next moment, I was taken out of my body and I was in the rapture. My body was changed. I was young and I saw the rapture and had part in it. I have seen as the multitude, the blood-bought multitude, was taken up through the air. It was a sight as at the dawning of a new day, no red sky, but a yellow shining light. I was at this experience on the far left, and I could look to the right and saw the redeemed multitude, which is raptured. Brothers and sisters, the delight that flowed through me, no man can comprehend. I again looked over, all dressed in white, all young, but everyone had his hair color, and this was quite a strange sight. This was the nuance in all of that. Some blonde, the others dark, in the hair color, just the way they were here on earth. But all dressed in white, the arms and feet downwards, going up. Not like a rocket, gently lifted up. Suddenly, I looked to the front and saw a light, which one earthy has not yet seen, and it cannot be seen. And I saw the dividing line between the air and the light of glory, which practically sat on it. It was that section which probably belongs to the earthy realm and the transition into eternity, into glory. Horizontal, I can totally describe it. And on this horizontal drawn line, which, as I said before, probably looked like a light, but a bit yellowish, as at the dawning of a new day, thereupon set this light that came from top. And I just thought, if I would just get to this point, to this line, then I would like to look up. And again I saw myself to the right. One looked at the other. Every face was transfigured. Nobody was laughing, but the expression of the face has more than bliss, more than joy. One cannot describe it. It was a glory like I didn't see it until now. And suddenly, we reached this line, which, as I just said, probably separates the timely from the eternal. And I looked up, just a single look, and I saw the city, like crystal. It sparkled. I don't know if you ever have seen freshly fallen snow upon which the sun shines, how it sparkles and glitters. Somehow in this way, it sparkled. And I saw how from this central point, like a pyramid, from top the light came down. It was not an even line. The line was a bit curved to the inside. I have seen it so clear as I see you before me. I could actually already experience the going out from my body, the changing, the rapture. And I tell you, what has happened with me, for this I can only thank God with all my heart. I don't know how far the rapture is away, but one thing we all know, our Lord comes soon. And I know since that day that I will be part of it, when he will return in the clouds of heaven to pick up his own. What a grace to be a believer. What a privilege to serve the Lord. And for the sake of this experience, I would like to have endured this all. And not murmur about it, but just thanking God for it with all my heart, that he has such ways with us. I have consumed my life in the service of God, day and night. Was traveling. I didn't take any self-regard in the past 15 years or 16 years on me or my bodily condition, but I have given my very best in the kingdom of God. And I most certainly did not understand that also the bodily condition at such a commitment can be one day exhausted. And nevertheless, I thank the Lord. And if he lets me get well and keeps me still here, then I will, with his help, continue in this way. For one soul is more valuable than the whole world. And the message that God has entrusted to us is the revealed word of God for this time. It reveals unto us the will of God. It's not a human interpretation and explanation, but a thus saith the Lord through his word and through his prophet. May this be a new beginning, and I would like to thank you all who you stood behind me or stood with me in the hours and days of the trial with all my heart and with all my soul. As already said, I would have liked to go home. Oh, what a delight. Every time the perfusion through the whole body, a delight as it cannot be on earth. And I looked over and again and rejoiced, and the redeemed multitude that was raptured, everyone with a transfigured face, looking at each other and then looking up again. Very soon it will be so far. And when I came to myself and was again in my body and comprehended that I am still here, I wept bitterly. My tears were flowing right and left. They were hot. I felt them. But when I then heard, as my brothers searched the presence of God, there came phone calls from Switzerland, from many countries, and letters and sympathy, whether expressed or not, it was just there with all who heard of it. And herewith I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I probably express for you the hope that God will still give us a time together of preparation, of blessing by His grace, until the bride is in such a way that the bridegroom can return to take her home in joy. A bride without spot and without wrinkle. A bride joined in the intimate love of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the garments made bright, whiter than the snow. Brothers and sisters, I said it just last Friday. I came out. I was lying all this time. I'm still very weak in my body. I have to sit down. But I thank you for having endured me like this. As I'm here today, I wanted to be here at all cost, because I love you wholeheartedly. This I may say in the presence of God. And when Brother Rus heard that I wanted to come, he said, "I don't leave you alone. I accompany you. I come with you. In the time of need, I have come to know my brothers. I'm grateful to God for it." Oh, we don't know into which situation we'll still come, which hours God will still give us. Let us love one another deeply with all our hearts. Paul said, "How incomprehensible are your ways, unsearchable your judgments." And Paul writes in Galatians 4 to the church that his bodily condition caused a stumbling block among them. But only those stumble who don't walk in the light. He who walks in the light, he doesn't stumble. He thanks the Lord. I say once again, in the days of my greatest trouble, I came to appreciate the love of my biological and spiritual brethren in such a way. This I can't tell you. Brothers and sisters, God loved us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us love one another with the same love, with all our hearts. God bless you. Thank you. I also would like to greet all of you in the name of the Lord. It is my great privilege to be among you today. My brother has already, under tears, said probably everything, maybe also not yet everything, but whatever it may be, everything must serve us for the good. And I would like to say, we love one another. If it would not be so, then we would not be children of God at all. For it is written in the Epistle of John, in 1 John, in chapter 3, that we should love one another. Here it says, 1 John 3 from verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. This is God's word. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And the loving of brothers and sisters is not only in words, by saying, I love you, but it has to take place in the practical life. It must take place then when it is really needed. And I can only say one thing. God has us in the last days so mightily joined us with one another in the bond of His divine love. We have such a unity of the Spirit as never before. I cannot understand it. I cannot explain it why. Maybe you also not. But God does not make a mistake. He remained the same. And He remains the same until the end. And we are obligated to love one another. The Lord Jesus, He said to His disciples when He wanted to depart, love one another, then the world will recognize that you are my disciples indeed. Did He say it? Amen. Do you know, it's not just that we make words. I say it once again. It has to come to the point that the love of God works so mightily in our heart as it was with our Lord and Savior. In Him was such a love that He gave His life for the brethren, giving it for us. Before we were here, He loved us already so mightily that He has given His life for us. And I think also now in these days, when maybe some brother gets into trouble, or some sister, or any child of God, that we care so much about it, that we have such an empathy, that we suffer with him or her. Yes, the Bible says, if one member suffers, then suffers what? Yes, then all members suffer. And this fact, brothers and sisters, also in our days, it came to the surface. I can only say, I suffered with my brother, and I felt with him. And if I could have done something, I would have given my best that he would have been well again. But this is not in my power, but this is left to someone else. But I don't know why it came this way, but God, who is omniscient, he knows why. And therefore, we don't want to murmur, also not to complain, but we want to come before him and put our hope fully on him. This is our belief. May there come what wants. May there come trials. But we look up to the Lord. We know he is able to carry his people through. He always did it, brothers and sisters. But what we have to do is to line up with his word and to pay attention to that, what he has to say to us. And we see he has left unto us his word. And if Peter, for instance, says in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, there he says, this is already the second letter, beloved, that I write, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. This is something of what the Apostle Peter makes his saints or his fellow citizens or his brothers and sisters in that time aware of. And I think also for us in these days, this word applies the same. For we are also built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And I think we are doing good if we pay attention to the word of the prophets, if we pay attention on that what they have spoken, what shall come in the last days, if we pay attention of what all the apostles have spoken. Dear brothers and sisters, I think then we don't need to marvel that we have to go through some kind of things, and that some things come, maybe in your life and in my life, that will seem to be not comfortable for me, but where we probably think, what is this all about? I have served my God after all my life. I carried out everything to my best. Why did all this come now in my life? But you know, dear brothers and sisters, I have said this already in the past days in Krefeld, in the church. I also said it last night in the local church. Do you know that all men of God didn't just walk on a bed of roses, but if we look at the ways and the life of these men of God in the Holy Scripture, then we see through how many afflictions and sorrows they had to go through so many sorrows, through so many bodily afflictions, yes, and through so many persecutions, through much troubles and harm which was done to them. We have probably no idea about it, maybe through their own families, maybe through the fellow brothers, maybe through the people who were present in those days. But you know, we should not marvel if we also come into some kind of things, for we read, if we, for instance, look up the prophet Micah, maybe in Amos we find also some things, but in Micah, here it says, if we read this scripture, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, in chapter 7, pardon me, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Up to here, this word, I said already earlier, we have nothing good to expect. We have nothing good to meet. No, brothers and sisters, the time, the end has come near, and we know when Peter makes us aware of and has said in those days these words, that they should be careful to the word of prophecy and on the word of the apostles. Do you know they have spoken in alignment with the prophets? And we see in these days that all the words of the prophets are being fulfilled. We see also the Lord Jesus himself referred to it. If we look up Matthew 10 in verse 35 and 36, there he takes this word from the prophet Micah, and he says here, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Brothers and sisters, we know the scripture does not make empty words. The time is serious. The time is evil. And I would like to say something else. The evil one will try to write the elect, right, those who trust God with all their heart, them he will try to somehow put them to shame. About the others, he doesn't care much. But right, those who have received the word of this hour, right after them he goes and wants to devour them, and he wants to destroy the whole work. But on the other hand, I must say, the matter is not the matter of a man, but the matter on which we stand is the matter of the living God. Dear brothers and sisters, maybe the enemy has rejoiced in those days when they nailed the Lord to the cross, and then he might have said, now he's gone, now it's over. But you know, right then the work just started. Only then it could continue. And I want to say, maybe the enemy also rejoiced in these days that he thought to smite the servant, the messenger, yes, to smite the shepherd. And he might have thought, if this one is gone, then everything is well. Oh, brothers and sisters, we know one thing. God is in control. And he does like he wants. Not as I wilt, not as thou wilt, but his will be done. And you know, it's so wonderful that God has really his matter in his hands, and that we may put our trust in him. And truly, it comes to the point, you know, that the devil cannot do otherwise. But we are told of the woman which lies in your bosom, keep the door of thy mouth. Do you know, right in these days, the devil seeks to come into the families. Yes, sadly it's like this. We must say it, for it's not different. And he tries to destroy whatever he can. Is it right or not? You know, God's word cannot be wrong. If I would say it, then it probably would not be right. But if God's word says it, then it is yes and amen. And if the prophets have seen it already beforehand, then they knew of what they speak, because they could see it, they could observe it, and we see the Lord Jesus himself referred to it and addressed it again, and he saw what kind of seriousness would come, what days will come, how everything would take shape. Brothers and sisters, and I ask you today, in which family does he not try to invade? In which? I think nobody will be here and say, in my family nothing has happened yet. Well, let us not say it too loud. Because you know, he is a juggler. And it could be already in the next moment that he wants to break in there. But praise and thanks be unto our God for his wonderful and glorious word that is left unto us, and that we may take heed, and that we, as we just read here, that I want to look for the Lord. Here, this man of God calls out when he has seen all this coming, how it will be. He says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. You know, for us is nothing left but to wait for the Lord, to trust him, to build on him and on his word. For we know his word stands firm in heaven. Do we believe it? It stands firm in heaven. That's a wonderful word. It's written in Psalms 119. Here it says in verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Yes, this is wonderful. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. Brothers and sisters, and not only heaven and earth he has established, but he also established his church, his bride church, and she will abide. Brothers and sisters, we have heard it. Our brother was allowed to see the rapture. It will abide for how long? Until he takes her home. But then judgment will strike. I want to say to all of us, this afternoon, in this hour, let our trust not be diminished. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not lose faith, but remain firmly established in the Lord, beloved. Hold fast to the word of God. As this man of God expresses it here, you know, these are words of encouragement. May come what comes. Yes, one will have these difficulties and the other these. You know, he tries differently with everyone. But the one thing we should take to heart, we should focus our eyes on him. Right in this time, in this evil time. And you know, the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. This certainty must be present in your and in my life. It must be there. My God will hear me. You know, I want to tell you something. He heard us. He will continue to hear us. There is no other way. How should he not hear us? How should he not answer? He answered already. See, what a comfort has been given to my beloved brother. Maybe the people might have thought, this one be raptured, or this or that. You know, what people despise, this God exalts. This he takes for himself, and this he claims for himself. You know, one can see quickly things on others, but the own one doesn't see. As one stands before God oneself, this one doesn't see probably. You know, dear brethren, with this we don't want to despise anyone. But the Bible says, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but fail to see the beam of wood in your own eye? That's how it is sometimes. But brothers and sisters, I want to say, we don't want to look on these things in these moments and in this hour, but we want to look to the Lord. You know, we all made mistakes in our life and will still make enough. Brother Branham, as a great man of God, he said, I made many mistakes and I will still do many. But do you know, he knew in whom he believes. He knew on whom he was holding to. Oh, you know, if we are in a battle, there are some things which will also strike us and where we probably will be wounded and this and that. But one thing is certain, beloved. We are his elect. We are his elect. Oh, how wonderful, how precious. And time and again, God's word says to us that we shall persevere. We have so many scriptures. Just now, Revelation 21 came into my mind. And when Brother Frank said here of the rapture, then I had to read from verse 2 of the holy city of the New Jerusalem that will descend. Yes, and when he wept here, then it says here, no sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Yes, is this not wonderful? You know, then everything will be over. No sorrow, no crying, no pain. Here may we walk around, bent down, if we have to go through some things. But then, everything will be over. There, everything will have come to its end. There will be something new. Not something new, but it says, I make all things new. Then everything will be new. Brothers and sisters, oh yes, this is God's word. Upon this our faith rests. This is our confidence, dear brothers and sisters. And even it gets very dark here around us. And if we would have to go through so many things, but one thing is certain, after all this deep pain, after all these sufferings, after all the tears, something new will be there. He will wipe off the tears and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's written here. That's the thing. Dear brothers and sisters, once again, I want to say to everyone this afternoon, you know, it cannot be compared. These few days sorrow in which we are here with that glory. No, brothers and sisters, we know after these few days, the sun will shine for us. The sun, Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful that we can have this in our hearts, having this hope in us. Is it in your heart? Yes. Is it there? Oh, how wonderful. You know, this joins us together. This leads us together. We belong together. It is not by coincidence that we come together here and have services with one another and look at God's word. But our aim is to be there together. Our joy is to appear there before the Lord. Not the one more, the one less. We all want to be there. And we want to say, here we are, for you loved us. You fed us. You carried us through. Oh yes, we have read last night the word. I think it was in John 10. The Lord knows his own, and his own know him. Yes, this is so wonderful. You know, he truly knows us, and we know him, if we met him. And did we meet him, or didn't we meet him? I believe we met him, brothers and sisters. And I want to tell you something. Right in such difficult hours, we learn to know him more. We learn to know him more, you know? Yes, this is a fact. Oh, how wonderful. I must say, brothers and sisters, God has done something great on my brother. The doctors had given him up, and those who had the same illness, they all died. How many? 15? 15 people who were in the same hospital with the same illness, they all died. They all died. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. God is still the same. He didn't change yet. He remains the same. And we are so glad that we could greet our brother here today. This doesn't mean that we run after a man, but we shall love one another. And you know, we have to love one another. This the Bible says. I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. And I want to read it to you. Not that you think that I invent something here. If I find it straight away. In John, probably. In John, if I find it straight away. It doesn't matter. I will not find it now. It's all right. We are obligated to love one another. John 13. Yes, you can read it for yourself. We are so grateful that we, brothers and sisters, have to love one another and that we may love one another. You know, if the people probably say that we run after a man, then I just ask, whom do the others follow? Whom do they run after? I just want to ask it once. I want to say, we don't follow anyone, no man. They probably say this and that. But let them say it, what they like. We know what the Lord commanded us. And you know, the Bible says it. And the Lord commanded it. I said it already, that we shall love one another. If it would not be so, then the Lord would not have to say it. But He said it, and we are grateful that we now may be joined in such a way and walk before Him in one spirit. You know, also John, when we look at the scripture rightly, also he, in his days, he did the same. He said, what was at the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what our hands have handled of the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. You see, here is the thing, that you have fellowship with us. Is this not wonderful? Fellowship. We must have fellowship. Now, maybe some say, one doesn't need fellowship. Oh, you know, so many things go wrong here in these days. Outside of the word, he wants to have that and he wants to have this, but we have to stay with the word of our Lord. And you know, he commanded it that we must have fellowship, and the fellowship is not only among one another, but as it is written, here he says it, what we have seen and heard, this we declare unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Is this wonderful? Brothers and sisters, you know, God's word cannot be changed. It can also not be presented wrong. For this it's not here. It is too precious. We must believe it and handle it the way as it is written here. If we have fellowship with one another, then we not only have fellowship with one another, but also with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are joined with all the true saints. We are joined with all believers. There are people who probably say, I believe, but I don't want to have anything to do with him because he has a different view than me. This should not be. But I remember the words. As Brother Branham said, I know so many brothers, and this one probably has a different view. But nevertheless, it is my brother, he says. I love him. I appreciate him. That's the thing. Brothers and sisters, this is God's word, and this we want to keep. We are so glad and grateful that we have His word. Brothers and sisters, may the faithful God, may He tighten the bond of love around us. You know, right in this last time, the last hours are here. John said it already back then. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Brothers and sisters, if it was already in those days, what shall we say? What is in our days? You know, the time didn't get better, but it gets worse. But the one thing we may say, and we may be glad, that we put our trust in the living God. Maybe I want to still read one verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Brothers and sisters, we have to overcome. It says in these days to overcome, to persevere. It doesn't help if we made a beginning. Now it is to overcome. And I want to come back to it again. And I want to say, also the apostles, they had a good beginning. They had good days. And probably they were spared of all. But let us look what the end was. What was the end with them? What was it? Was it as the beginning was? No. Brothers and sisters, what good was it for them? Say it to yourself. Just read it. How they were executed. How they were murdered. How they were violated. Oh, what kind of things were done to them? I tell you, it is still the same today. It got even worse. You know, everything interlocks with the other. But praise and thanks be to our God, that we, brothers and sisters, may persevere, that we may overcome, that we inherit what? That glory that is prepared for us. You know, not something what men give, then we would be poor off, but something what our Lord prepares for us. And this is something that remains. Something that remains forever. And we know He went. He didn't say in vain the words, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to take you unto myself. Brothers and sisters, if our God was so faithful and has helped our brother on his sick bed, showing him the place, then I want to say, it is a pointer of our God that we have to be ready for the day, for the hour, for the moment of His coming. We don't know when it will be. But don't we see in all the other things that everything has come to its end? Don't we see how everything is being fulfilled as the scripture says? Don't we see the abomination of desolation? Don't we see the atomic bombs and all that? All these dangerous things. The day comes that will burn as an oven. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, then all the proud, yes, they will be afraid, but it will be too late. Precious brothers and sisters, but one thing we want, that we don't see all that, and we shall not see it, but we want to be raptured. We want to be with Him. We want that He fetches us. And you know, this faith is in my heart. I believe that God will do it soon. Maybe we are gathering today for the last time. We cannot say it. You not, and I also not. But you know, this urgent exhortation, and now this dream vision, or a vision, I don't know precisely. But all this must awaken something in us, and we have to love one another even more clinging more to His word, standing together even more. You know, this was the command of our Lord. And this is the command, His command, in these days, addressed to all of us. I don't know, but I can only say, with us in Krefeld, we are just a few now. But I want to say, one heart and one soul we have become. One heart and one soul. We are so glad. We are so grateful. Yes, we understand each other. We are grateful for every word, because we know every word doesn't come from man, but from Him. And we love every word, and we see in every word, in every verse which we read, we see our Lord. This our beloved brother Branham said, if we don't see Him in it, then we must go back and read so long and pray to God, reveal it to me, transfigure it to me, so that I can see You in it. Yes, His word is inspired. It is spirit, it is life. It has to become great for us in these last days. Now please pardon me, I should be brief, and I spoke for so long. Pardon me, brothers and sisters, may the faithful God bless you. I am very glad that after a certain time I could be again among you here in Zurich. Well, it's not a coincidence, it's all the leading of the Lord. We take everything as it comes from the hand of the living God. And I want to let you know, we are always joined with you and we pray for you. And it's my wish that also you pray for us. And the assembly in Krefeld sends heartfelt greetings to you. They have told us to extend greetings to you. And herewith I have done it. We also take greetings now from you. Yes, the faithful God will keep us. We are so glad, brothers and sisters. Please pardon me for my weakness. I'm not a great speaker. I'm not a great preacher. But what I am, this I am for the glory of my God. I have said I want to serve my God as long as there's breath in me. And one brother here, he asked me, how is your bodily condition now? I can tell you one thing. As good as I feel now, I didn't feel for many years. I'm so glad and so grateful for it. I was also operated last year in March, hernia. But I don't know. I'm so glad that God has laid everything. I'm so grateful. I have also an erosion in my spine and also in the knees and this and that. If I wanted to start with this, but I don't waste time with this any longer. But I look to the Lord. I know He will change this body. He will also change your weak body. Do you believe it? Praise be to His name. You know, He is a good God. He sees our weaknesses. But He looks on our heart. How our heart is. We don't blame Him. We don't want to do it as others and say, Lord, we want to believe, but first You must heal me. No, brothers and sisters, we want to believe Him blindly and trust Him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is He the same or not? Amen. He's the same. He remains the same. He cannot change. And we should also not change our opinion and also not cast away our faith when something comes upon us. But we know we are engraved in His hands. And He says, nobody is able to pluck us out of His hand. Is this not wonderful? Nobody is able to pluck us out of His hand. Oh, what a grace was given to us. Brothers and sisters, I want to say, not to all this grace was given. No, brothers and sisters, His elect was given this grace. Praise be to His wonderful name. Now we are so glad and grateful that He blessed us again through His precious and holy word. Now I think the faith has also increased today in you, right or not? I don't know, but every time when we read His word, the faith must become mightier in us. And my brother said in the past days to me, you know, if we could not come together like this, then we would stagnate and we would get weak and ill. But if we come together, then we receive new strength and again new courage and a new boost. That's the thing, brothers and sisters. Not that we encourage ourselves. You know, God's word, this gives us the strength. It gives us everything what we need. He is our help. Yes, this word, it is so precious, as it is written here in Micah. We cannot run away from it, but we should thank God for it, that also we can look up to Him and trust Him and persevere. Our God helped us, and He will continue to help us. Praise be to His wonderful name. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment. Perhaps somebody is here this afternoon to whom the Lord has spoken and who would like to consecrate his life to God. We all know the time is coming to its end. The signs of the time point to it. Very soon, the last hour will be. The last day will come. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Is somebody here? While all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, all hearts are open, and we are in this way before the Lord. Is somebody here who would like to be included into this prayer? Raise briefly your hand and put them down again. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you that it is still the time of grace, that you still speak, that you still call, that you still work. For the night comes where nobody can work anymore. O God, then he who is unclean will remain unclean, and he who is holy will become even more holy. Faithful Master, this time is probably shortly before us. I thank you especially that you have given me the strength to be here on this day. You have seen the lifted up hands and also the hearts, O God. You know how we mean it. We want to serve you as good as we can and showing other people the way to you. Make us fishers of men. Make us soul winners to people whom you can use, whom you can bless, and whom you can make a blessing for others. O God, may your wonderful gospel, faithful Lord, once again be preached over the whole earth, so that the end may come and nobody has an excuse. We thank you for this afternoon, for the many scriptures, for the heard word. Paul said, in weakness it was sown, but in power it will be resurrected. Worship and glory be to your holy name. Amen.